We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, to help you discover the surprising truth about leadership. It's not always what you think. Now, here's today's program.
And I would say something like this, well, we got this going on and this going on and this going on, but as soon as we're done with those, boy, it's going to be smooth sailing. I don't say that anymore. Now what I'll say is something like, we got these things going on and God's good in them. And even when these things go away, there'll be a whole nother slew of problems we didn't even know we had. And sometimes when I'm praying with people that are close to me, I'll pray like this, you know what? I'm just tired of these problems. Bring us new problems, right? Because I'm tired of working on the same one. And if I'm missing what you're trying to teach me, help me understand what you're trying to teach me so we can move on to some new challenges. But opposition and attack will always accompany when you try to live for the Lord. If you're single and you get married and you want to have a Christian marriage, there'll be opposition to it. If you're a Christian couple and you want to have kids and raise them in a godly way, there'll be opposition to it. If you want to plant a church and do it God's way, there'll be opposition to it. You want to start a business and do it God's way, there'll be opposition to it. You want to be a coach and do it God's way, there's going to be opposition to it. There's no way that you can do it God's way and avoid challenges. And here's what I would say. For some of you that have been doing it God's way, and it's not a result of sin in your life, but there's incredible oppression, incredible challenge, incredible attack, here's a word of comfort for you. God loves you so much and sees so much good in you that he's entrusting you with something so great because he believes that by your dependence upon him, he can bring you through it. So consider it all joy when you're going through those circumstances. And I'm talking about the ones that you don't like right now that you're in and that you would have never picked. That's the Lord in your life. They never go away. It's always going to be a challenge. There's never going to come a time where it's not. I mean, I know if I were Moses, I'd be sitting there saying, I wish I could provide water. I can't, but my God can. I wish I could provide protection. I can't, but my God can. When God leads you to a place, he can cause problems in the people that you're trying to lead. And there'll always be opposition and attack. Here's why. Because God's people are always in training to develop more spiritual muscle. And you never graduate from the school of discipleship. There's never going to come a time where you're ready to lead for the Lord. If you're listening to this message today and say, well, this is a good reason why I don't lead anywhere. Praise the Lord. That's not the intent of the message. This is the intent of the message to lead because everybody's called to lead. This is what you can expect when you do. I've had people tell me from the time that they joined our church, whether it was week one or sometime after that, just all the things that broke loose in their life. People have said things to me like this. Pastor Jeff, before we came to Brave, everything was going okay in our life. But ever since we've come to Brave, it's unearthed. All these things in our marriage have been really challenging. Or ever since we've come to Brave, there's stuff going on with our kids that weren't going on before and it's become really challenging. Or everything was great, but now at work, it's become really challenging. Or financially, we were set, but all these things happened and it was really challenging. We even tell people when they're going to become elders or they're going to come on our staff, we'll say things like this. Just know, by taking a step of faith, you're going to experience a level of spiritual attack you just haven't experienced yet. And every time we tell somebody that, they always nod and say, yeah, I get it. It's okay. I get it. I understand. And then they come and they become an elder or they join our staff. And then they say stuff like this, man, my daughter's sick now, or I can't seem to be able to get over this hump and we've never had these problems before. And on and on and on, to which I say, welcome to the family. Right? I mean, there's something about going after things God's way that is not comfortable, but oftentimes is challenging. That's what he does, and that's how he grows us. So we'll pray to the Lord, like, Lord, I want to grow. I want to know your word. I want to be better at evangelism. I want to be better at serving. And we think he's just going to download some information, and we're going to be better. And what he's doing is like, I heard you. I'm bringing some challenge into your life that you're not going to like, that's going to help answer the prayer that you've been praying. And that's what God continues to do. Now, when I heard this and I was a younger believer, I thought it was like pure poppycock or something like that. I mean, people would say, hey, every time we go to share the gospel, something breaks loose. You know, something's wrong. The power goes out, whatever. I never believed any of that stuff until I started leading for the Lord. Remember the first night we did an evangelism night at our church that we had? We were doing a big evangelism night. I invited a friend in. He was coming to play the guitar and sing and do all these other things. And when he did, wouldn't you know, 5 minutes before we started, the whole power on the entire block went out. And somebody said, man, spiritual attack. And I'm like, no, the power went out. It's not spiritual anything. They had to run, get generators to make the night work. But when I saw that happen over and over and over and over, and every time we went to present the gospel, things went haywire and it went haywire. I was like, there's something to this. Ask my wife and I now. When we first got married, if I was going to be preaching on Sunday, on Saturday, there was usually something that got between us. And I would tell her, it's spiritual attack. And she would say, no, you're just being a jerk. Which sometimes she was right. But now we've gotten to the place where we know on Saturday, when I get up, if I'm going to preach on Sunday, something's going to happen. There's going to be something that goes wrong between her and I, or a misunderstanding, or one of our kids, or something, or somebody's going to need to stay up late, or I'm not going to get sleep. It's just going to happen. And we know it's coming, so we pray for it. I've seen it on the mission field. I remember being in India one time, which traveling on the roads in India is dangerous as it is just to drive. One time we were in India, one of our guys got sick and had all sorts of heart problems. We had to rush him to the ER, but to get him there, we had to drive on the wrong side of the road to get him there. So not only were we going where there are no laws, we were going in between cars coming at us. And I remember thinking, Lord, this is because I'm going to preach the gospel. And now the more attack I see and the more opposition I feel, the more sometimes I feel like we're right in the center of exactly where God wants us to be. It's not about avoiding that. It's about realizing when you step out for the Lord, you will always be opposed because the enemy doesn't want Christ's kingdom advanced. So you can expect that. Fourth is this. When you lead for the Lord, here's a fourth expectation. You can expect an absolute need. It's an absolute necessity to choose godly men. You can fill that blank in. Godly women who will fight for you and with you. An absolute need to choose godly men and or women who will fight for you and with you. You need relationships. We sometimes think that because of the way that we're raised, that Christianity is between Jesus and me, but it's Jesus and we. God always has worked in community. God always works on a team. He never works with just an individual. And the more isolated you try to make yourself, the less effective you will be in the kingdom. Notice what happens here, verse 9. So Moses said to Joshua, it's the first time Joshua gets introduced. He's going to be introduced as a warrior, which tells us who he's going to be going forward. He says, choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. What did Moses have the ability to do? He had men around him that he knew well, that he could deploy, that he could entrust, men that he believed in and men that believed in him. So when it came time to fight an enemy and it came time that he needed help, he knew who to call and who to call by name and who to send out for that specific skill. Howard Hendricks used to always ask, where are your men? To the guys. Ladies, where are your women? Like, who do you have in your life that will fight for you? Who do you have in your life that will fight with you? Who do you have in your life that loves the Lord so much they want to see the Lord's vision in your life built? Who do you have? Those are people I'm talking about, not structures. Those are people I'm talking about, not structures. Moses was calling Joshua, Aaron, Hur. So notice what happens. Verse 11, so it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So when they go to battle, Joshua takes Israel out. Moses is up on a hill. He's holding the staff.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, helping you discover the surprising truth about leadership. It's not always what you think. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Moses is up on a hill. He's holding the staff, the same staff that provided water, the same staff that performed all the plagues, the same staff that parted the Red Sea. As long as that staff is up, Israel's winning. But guess what? You and I weren't designed to hold our arms in the air all day long. So guess what happens to Moses? His arms are going to get tired. As long as his arms are up, Israel's winning. When his arms go down, Amalek starts winning. Notice verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. So then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until when? Until the sun set. They did it all day. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Which of those three guys was most important? Was it Joshua who was doing the fighting? Was it Moses who was seeking the Lord? Or were the two guys that were holding up his arms? All of the above is the answer. Because what happens is when Moses can't do it anymore, they said, take a seat. So you can see Moses sitting down on a stone. And then there's Aaron on one side, probably with Moses' elbow underneath this way, and Hur on the other side with Moses' elbow underneath this way. And they just held it there all day long. Because this is my job, to support the leader, to support the one that's seeking the one that's gonna give us the victory. That's my role. Other people's role was to go fight. Everybody had responsibility, and Moses knew them by name, so he knew who to call on to do what he needed them to do. Here's my question. Who are your people? Who has your back? There's one thing about saying, I need an accountability partner. There's one thing about saying, I need a mentor. If you're really gonna lead for the Lord, you better have people in your life that really, really know you well, that will speak into your life, that you'll listen to. Now, I get this question a lot, and I think it's somewhat of a fair question. People will ask me this question sometimes. You know, who holds you accountable, Pastor Jeff? In other words, what keeps you from going off the deep end? And I can explain it structurally. I can talk about how we have shepherding elders in their role, and I can talk about stewarding elders in their role, and I can talk about our supervising elders in their role, and I can talk about how we've set it up for accountability coming from three different directions and all this stuff. But accountability never happens by structure. It always happens by willingness in relationship. No matter what structure you set up, there's no guarantee of fidelity and faithfulness in that structure. There isn't, is there? Just because you're married, does that mean you'll never be unfaithful? No, what causes you to not be unfaithful? Because you need other people speaking into your life. You need other people that you know well enough. So yeah, I have all the structures, but I've seen guys in my role that I know by name, that I've known personally, that have fallen out of good graces because why? It's not because they didn't have good structure. And it's not because they didn't have good men around them. But guess what they didn't want? They didn't want to listen to what those guys were saying because they thought they knew better. May it never be. Kim and I pray all the time. If I have one goal of pastoring this church is that I'd finish well. Here's what finishing well looks like for me. That when I'm done ministering, my wife still loves me, my kids still love me, and I've been faithful in the word of God the entire time with integrity. That's finishing well. But that doesn't happen because we set up a good elder structure. I have people in my life that I let speak into my life. People in my life that can tell me, you don't smell good right now. The way you said that wasn't good. That I listen to because I know that they're right. I have a handful of them. On Friday night, I was together with a couple different couples that I've known, one for 15 years, one for 40 years. It's one of the few places I'm at that I'm their pastor, but I don't feel like I'm their pastor because they know everything about me from my past and they could speak into everything about me. I need that in my life. But guess what? You need that in your life too. Who loves you enough to tell you when you're not being a good husband? Who loves you enough to tell you when you're not being a good wife? Who loves you enough to tell you when you're not spending money right? Who loves you enough to tell you that the way in which you said that was wrong? Who loves you enough to tell you that you have bitterness in your heart and you need to deal with that? Who loves you enough to tell you the things that you really don't want to hear? And I can't say that, yeah, when I hear that, it's so wonderful. Praise God for my good friends. But do I need it? 100%. Because I've watched too many people in every sector, not just ministry. I'm just more focused on that. But I've seen it in the coaching world. I've seen it in the business sector. I've seen it in the political sector of all sorts of people that think they're better than anybody else. And yet we all know that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you can't air your dirty laundry with everybody, but who can really speak into your life? Who will let you do that? Who will you let do that into your life? And I'm telling you, the more you walk with the Lord, you will have an absolute need for that. Because whatever God calls you to, what he's calling you to is greater than anything you can accomplish for yourself. Who are the people that are going to help you? Who are the people you're going to listen to? Who are the people that are going to help you get that done? And here's the way I'd say it to you. The culture you choose will determine your future. In other words, be careful who you pull close to you and be careful who you surround yourself with, because who you hang with will have a greater impact on you than you will ever have on them. Kids, I'm telling you, who you hang out with, when your mom and dad say you don't want to hang out with that person, they're trying to help you long term. I'm telling you, as your pastor, if you hang out with all non-believers, it's not going to help you long term. I remember when I was an immature believer at the University of Illinois, just very young in my faith. And I was challenged by some people like, hey, why do you go out to the bars and why do you hang out with people like that? And I would say this, because I'm an evangelist, man. I'm a cool Christian. People like hanging out with me. They don't like hanging out with you. And they're like, no, you're just spiritually immature. You don't know what it means to walk with the Lord. And as they started walking me through, I started hanging out with a group of different people. And when I started hanging out primarily with Christians, everything in my heart began to change. And I still had a passion for the lost, but I knew how to live it out. So I looked different than they did. Who speaks into your life? Who do you let talk into your life? Wasn't planning on saying this. I didn't say this first service, but it bears saying. Husbands, do you let your wife talk into your life? She knows you better than anybody, and she's right about 99% of the time. Only 99% of the time. But she's right about 99% of the time. Do you let her talk into your life? Do you listen to what she has to say? She knows you. She loves you. She married you. She has to put up with you. So listen to her. Who are the people that you will let speak into your life? Do you have those? If you don't, pray that God brings some of those people in your life. You have an absolute need for that going forward. And then finally is this. Here's one thing that you can expect. You can expect a deeper intimacy with God by experiencing his power and his victory. When you lead for the Lord, you can expect a deeper intimacy with God by experiencing his power and his victory. Notice verses 14 and following. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. So two things are going on there. Number one, God's making a prophetic statement, which when God says something, it always comes true. He's going to wipe out the Amalekites. Under King David, he did exactly that. But he's also telling Moses, write this down in a book. In other words, keep journaling, Moses, because the stuff that you're seeing and the stuff that you're writing about, I'm going to use that someday. It's really the first indication we have that Moses was taking notes all along this journey so that the Holy Spirit could use that to pin what we have in our scriptures today. Really cool. Verse 15, Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. God has a lot of names in the Old Testament for Jehovah. This is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. You're always going to have problems with him, but ultimately I'm going to wipe him out. You realize you're always going to have problems in this world, but ultimately God's going to wipe out evil. It's a promise. It's coming. Now, the Lord is my banner. When I think about that, I think about a piece of cloth, and further Hebrew literature would say that's what it is. It's more of a cloth. But here, the way this is being said is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. It's saying literally Yahweh is my signal pole. It's that pole around which an army can rally or regroup or return for instructions. Isn't that what the Lord is? Isn't he that place that we go to as his people that we can rally around, that we can regroup, that we can return for instruction? Isn't that who the Lord is? That's what it means that the Lord is my banner. It's come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You're my army. You're my team. Come to me. I'll help you in that. And when you see the Lord in victory, when you see the Lord demonstrate his power, it'll grow your heart closer to him. Sometimes we think intimacy simply means this. I'm just getting quiet time with the Lord and it's so sweet. I've had sweet times with the Lord in private. I really have. But there's something about seeing the Lord work what he says he's going to do, where you see him perform in power a miracle. You see him perform a victory. You see him do what you've only read about he was going to do, and now you see him do. You start tithing and you see, I'm not losing anything. I'm gaining everything by this. You join a community of people and you say, I needed these people in my life because I'm actually growing in my faith and it's helping me develop. You see God when you read about the fact that he heals, and all of a sudden you see him heal you or somebody else on this side of heaven, and you think, my God does heal. Or you're asking for some sort of spiritual gift that you didn't think could happen, and he gives you that spiritual gift on this side of heaven. You're like, God still works the same way he always does. When you see God work, it grows your intimacy and your love and your heart for him. And that's what we want to see. I remember being young and in the faith, and I'm like, I hear people talk about God healing, but I don't know that he really does that. I've seen God heal people on this side of heaven. Yeah, God really provides for people on this side of heaven. If you're faithful in your stewardship and you're a generous giver, God will overflow it. I've seen God do that. God will deliver people from demons on this side of heaven. I've seen God do that. The more I've seen God do, the deeper my intimacy becomes with him, and the more I want to see him do it in the lives of other people. That's what's going on here. That's what leadership looks like. And do you know why this is so important? Do you know why this is so important? Because for some of you that say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Some of Jesus' last words on the planet were what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. What's he saying in this commission? You're my leader. You're my people. Go do this. So I was thinking about this text and thinking about these five phases of leadership. Here's what I think about. I think about my Lord and Savior. Did Jesus experience blame and criticism for legitimate problems which he helped create? Absolutely. Did Jesus experience an increased dependency to seek his Father during the time that he was on the earth and to do what he says? Absolutely. Do you remember the night that he was in the garden? Dad, this is going to be hard. Dad, I don't know that I want to go through this, but not my way, Father, your way. You want me to go to the cross? I'll do everything that you ask me to do. I'll go public with this. And he did. Did Jesus experience any opposition or ongoing attack from those that he was leading? Just daily, all day long. Did he have an absolute need to choose godly men who would fight for and with him? Yes, even though they were sinful and abandoned him. That's who he deployed. That's why the church exists today. And did he grow a deeper intimacy with his Father, even though he was one with the Father and said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. Yeah, but all throughout the text of the New Testament and the Gospels, what do we see Jesus doing? Sneaking away to be with his Father because he wanted to hear his voice and do what his Father was telling him to do, which is why he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. You say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. Well, step out in faith. I don't know what that looks like for you. And again, I'm not telling you, hey, you need to remember all five of these points. Maybe there's one specific point that the Lord's put on your heart today that he's encouraging you with. But he loves you. I mean, the gospel says this, that God the Father loved you so much that he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen? I mean, the reason God is commissioning you is because first and foremost, he wants to have a relationship with you. God the Father sent Jesus into the world so that he could die on the cross for all your sin. He didn't ask you to get religious. He just wanted to be in relationship with you. And he was sharing with you, there's no way you can have a relationship with the Father except through him. He died on a cross, but guess what? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He's as alive as he's ever been. He's been offering new life to all who would turn from their sin and turn to him. And you can have a relationship with him both now and forevermore. And by coming into relationship with him, you will realize that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, that you've been called before the foundation of the world, and that God has purpose greater than you ever knew that he wants to work through your life. And as you step out in faith and experience these leadership expectations, all it's gonna do is grow your heart for Jesus. All it's gonna do is make you love him more.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, helping you discover the surprising truth about leadership. And it's not always what you think. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.